Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada. Hey, yeah, it's kind of an on-the-spot show for GRI. We decided after a really good show we just listened to here a little while ago, and I'm going to turn down the mic gain a little bit here. We decided to do a little different here, and that's a little technical issue. Normally I set these shows up, I have everything just so, and I did this so fast I didn't put one of the mics out here. Okay, that's a little better. My normal dial-in, it's still doing it. I'm going to get that up at the break. But anyway, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and a little bit of a funny start to things, but, you know, it's a just-for-fun show, so you might as well just accept whatever happens. But, hey, we see Des Moines Paranormal out there. Hey, good to see you out there, man. That was a neat show that was just on at, about 30 minutes ago. We decided that we had a few of our own EVPs that we thought we might like to play, and then I figured if some of you guys out there wanted to pop in and, you know, do some of yours, I'm looking at, yeah, you've got a bunch on your site there, Des Moines, so I think we'll, if you can tell me which ones to look for and just pop that into the chat room, I think we can do that. And tell you what, because I'm just going to take a brief, real brief break for just a second. I know it's the start of the show, but I need to overcome this echo effect. So I'm going to do that, play a spot here, and then I will pop right back on. And the 60-cent idea. We're going to go ahead and run that, and then I'll be right back after we overcome this little issue. So here we go.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
Right. goes down. Local ghost hunters search for paranormal in Pottsville, I believe it's Philadelphia. A group of paranormal researchers is wrapping up an investigation at a house in Cressona, and the group's members are hoping to continue searching for evidence of ghosts at area sites. So each of us that have had some type of encounter which led us to do research and development our skills over time, and we believe that we can help other people with this and find out what's causing the experiences, says Lena Kimmett, co-founder of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Research Team based in, I'm not going to say this well, Schuylkill Haven. Anyway, the group has been together for about a year and is looking to investigate any paranormal activity in the area that someone may be experiencing, and they came across such activity at the Cressona home. They feel that there's something definitely there, Kimmel said. We saw a full-body apparition in the window, heard the voice of a 60 to 70-year-old man, and my daughter, who is a medium, picked up a young girl over there in the corner who was looking for her mother. And the group has already investigated about five sites in the county, including the foundation of O'Donnell House, site of the Wiggins Patch Massacre, when Charles O'Donnell and his pregnant sister, Ellen McAllister, were shot in their home by a band of masked vigilantes. So this story goes on, but if you happen to TNCnet.com, just search for local ghost hunters, search for the paranormal off of Google and News, and you'll find this story. It looks pretty good. Let's see who we got here. We have Zerkon. Hey, thanks for coming in, Zerkon. Good to see you, too. Welcome to the Ad Hoc Show. We're just doing this for fun. Yeah, I just got into the mood. I was working in the studio, listening to another show, and I just decided, hey, let's do something with EVPs just because. Let's see, newsleader.com, here we have. This is from the Shenandoah Valley. Founder enjoys paranormal is the headline, September 12, 2009. Marty Siebel, director and founder of Shenandoah Valley Paranormal Society, had an idea that the ghost of Staunton were walking tours might be popular, but he's pleasantly surprised by the number of people interested in the tours. In its second season, the tours have added a second night, which means two 90-minute tours on Friday and Saturday evenings will continue through the end of October. The Ghosts of Staunton features two routes, the Haunted Wharf Tour and the Ghostly Newtown Tour. They've had such a great response during the six-week trial in October from last year that they decided they wanted to go further with it. We have more stories, more information, and now we can split it up to two nights. And Seibel is a processor at the Walmart Distribution Center in Mount Crawford and has been interested in the paranormal since he was a child and is a big Civil War history buff, and he hopes to organize overnight bus stops to haunted sites. So this guy's got quite a bit going on. Go check that out. Look up Shenandoah Valley Paranormal Society if you want to find out more there. And, of course, we always do three stories, so we're going to go to this one. I just grabbed them as I saw, didn't even have time to read them, so it's always a surprise. Paranormal, P-U-R-R, Paranormal Doings and Colony. This is from the TimesUnion.com site. And Colony, Colony is the name of the city. The paranormal investigator with a long history of peering into unexplained phenomena felt the historic Shaker site was a perfect place to search for entities or ghosts. Equipped with a camera and recorder, Anne Marie DeMarco set off from her Amsterdam home for the 770-acre site near Albany International Airport to wander through the fields, the lawns, and buildings where the religious community lived and worked in the 19th century. She hasn't been disappointed. Not only has she found the apparitions of humans in the area, but also of animals, mostly cats. Now, that's interesting. I've had a few run-ins I was just describing on my show last night. An EVP, we think we got of a sheep, of all things. So I'm not surprised to see cats would come in, especially probably somebody's pets. Going on here with the story, America's first Shaker settlement was founded by Anne Lee in 1776 and her followers who left Manchester, England, seeking religious freedom. Mother Anne Lee is buried in the cemetery there. And in September 2007, DeMarco stopped at the gravesite and then ventured toward the buildings. She spent an afternoon doing photos with an infrared camera and captured a ghost cat looking out the window. The cat was looking right at me, watching what I was doing. She saw the apparition when she later examined what she had captured on her digital camera. The cat sparked her curiosity. I wanted to see what, if any, other ghosts were in the area. And so she got in touch with the Shaker Heritage Society and asked if she could gain entry into the building. So if you want to read more on this, look for Paranormal Doings in Colony, and that's C-O-L-O-N-I-E. And that's on the TimesUnion.com site. And again, all of these were picked up just with the keyword paranormal in the Google News section. So it's that just that easy to find this stuff. So anyway, hey, we got a few more guests here. We got Bella Rose. Hi, Bella. So I've seen you around. Yeah, good to have you out. Got to find time to get my show going full time. I know the feeling. I've been at this trying to stick with this once a week for the past year, and it takes some work to do, I tell you what. It's not easy. And last week I had food poisoning. Oh, my God, you guys, you have no idea. I made a mistake. I made such a mistake. I stopped and got nachos at Taco someplace. I won't say the name, but I think you could fill in the rest of it. And 4 hours later, I was out working, and suddenly, next thing I knew, I looked up and I was supposed to have, actually, not it was last week, the week before, but I was supposed to have a Fox News host, I'm trying to remember the name now, my God, I just had him on last night, Spencer Hughes was on last night, and I was supposed to have him on, and he was very gracious about it, he understood completely, and so, anyway, that was a terrible night, but usually I get these shows in on time, every time, and I never miss them except for that kind of a thing. So anyway, hey, it's good to see you. Oh, you do a pod show. You know, I've thought about doing that because you can do a lot of post-production with your audio and things like that. And I know what you mean. It takes a good deal of time because, you know, why don't you get on, you know, people are not as forgiving as they are when you're on the air, you know, live. So anyway, we're going to take a look at some EVPs. And the reason I kind of dropped in and just did this show kind of on this on the spur of the moment was some time ago we did a kind of an unprecedented experiment for us. Usually we go do EVP ourselves and we go out in the field and capture things just like everybody else. But a good friend of mine, Sharon Coyle, down at Journey Paranormal Society, did a live broadcast from the Warner Grant Theater. And I got watching the show, and I kept hearing EVPs from the show audio. I've got the ear for this, and I was picking the stuff up, and I immediately grabbed a hold of Audacity, tied it into the audio stream, and captured a couple hours worth of this stuff. So I went ahead and I've submitted actually everything I picked up. There were just a boatload of EVPs that we caught off of this. So from 400 miles away, here I was on a live internet broadcast. I pull this audio stream and I get the whole thing, record that, and started dicing it apart, and I'm picking up EVPs. And so we loaded a few of them up, and I've got them on my website here on the Ghost Rider Paranormal site. If you just jump into the gallery, you'll see EVPs from other investigators and just dive down into the Warner Grand EVP clips, and you can hear those and download those for yourself. Sharon's pretty okay with us sharing these. She gave full permission, so I don't feel too bad about playing a few of these just to kind of share with some audience and say, hey, look at this. This is a new technique, a new way of doing things. And if you happen to see some of these television broadcasts that are on the air from Ustream TV or maybe audio coming in from some live investigation over the internet, grab the audio stream, record it, and then go back and try it yourself. And I think you might be surprised at what you get. So we're going to try this. I've preloaded a few of these, and I'm kind of trying a new capability out here where we're going to play these right through the browser. So we'll give this a shot. I think this one is What Was Your Profession? Is Sharon talking. So let's go ahead and play this and see what we get. And I'll ask if you guys can hear this. So please do your thing. Yeah, I love Audacity. That tool is the best. And it's free. That's the best part. And it's got all kinds of capabilities. I use it to do all my extracts on my EVP work. So the price is right, let me tell you, and the quality's great. Anyway, here we go. Sharon, with what was your profession? And let's see if you guys hear this.
What was your profession?
Now, I enhanced that a little bit, and what that was saying, I think, was help me out, please. So I'm going to play that again, and I can't boost it very much more. So here we go again.
What was your profession?
Help me out, please. And you hear that kind of in the... And so that's the kind of thing we were getting. It was very, very unusual. And let me see if I can... I've got one more here from there. I'm just trying to get to the page that had it. Oh, I did have it. Here we go. Oh, yes. This is one It's funny. I'll tell you something that's funny with EVP. You think you've got it right, and then you'll load it up on a website. You get to play it in front of the audience, and then you hear exactly what was said because for some reason when you load EVPs on a website, and I don't know if you guys have had the same experience, but you know, you'll hear it with a great set of headphones on, and it sounds one way, and then you get it on a another medium like a web broadcast, and suddenly you can hear it even better. And I don't know what it is. It must be the frequency shift or something, but anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play this and see if you guys pick this up.
You also have...
Did you hear that?
You also have...
It says keep watching them, so I'm going to play it one more time and kick it up a little bit. See if we can boost this.
You also have...
There. Now, I hope you guys could pick that up. So if anybody can respond in the chat room, I'd be very appreciative. I hope you're all still there. Okay, good. So you did hear it. Good. Yeah, and that, again, that was it's a very strange thing. I mean, we never had it just was a off-the-cuff experiment to try getting EVP, and it makes you wonder, especially some of these paranormal shows you see, things that you might pick up, I don't know, on Hulu, maybe some of the GRI and GHI episodes, Ghost Hunter episodes, things like that. You might want to pull the audio yourself and take a listen to it and see maybe if there's something they even missed. Unlikely, but... there's an awful lot out there, and a lot of these paranormal shows are out there, so it pays to... Sometimes I hear these things, and they'll... It's like on Ghost Adventures. They'll play an EVP, and they'll say it says one thing, and I hear something completely different. So I'm getting this idea that I think it's... yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. It just seems to me, it just makes sense to go in and maybe pull some of these things yourself and listen to these. Anyway... I'm going to take Des Moines and Des Moines' website, and it's probably going to interfere with our broadcast a little. I'm trying some new things here, again, playing through the browsers and then piping that into the mixer here. So let's see. I'm looking for the link if Des Moines has that. Yeah, and I'm going to read that off for you guys so you see where to go here because these guys do some great work. It's DesMoinesParanormal.webs.com, and I'm going to clip that from the chat room so everybody can see that and paste it. So go check these guys out. They do some great work. Good group. So I'm going to hit that, and if they can tell me which EVP to play, I think we can do something here. I'm going to just surf there. I hope he's still there. This morning's. And I am no speller. Webs.com. And I bet he's got a giant library of things that are out there. Okay, right there. Allow all the goodies that he's got. I run the little protection software here. Now, you've got plugins there from this website, so I might not be able to do this on the air because this is not, I don't think this is going to work. Can you give me more to go on, Des Moines? What technology are you using on your EVPs? I'm just sitting here looking. I'm not familiar with the site, so I'm not seeing. Looks like you've been to Queen Mary. I've had a bunch of experiences there. You've got plenty of cemetery photos, videos, file, gallery, but I don't see EVP. So if you can give me something to go on, great. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep the site up, and then we'll just move into. Oh, you use WavePad. Are you doing MP3s, though, or are you doing some sort of special plugin, like a Flash plugin? That's kind of what I'm looking for. Okay, can you give me a URL to one of these pages so I can just type that in? And I'll go ahead while you're doing that. And I'm going to play a few from our top 10 that I've done some stuff here. One of them... this one actually I rather enjoy. There's a we have a lot of cemeteries in this area, and that are like the old 49er Gold Rush cemeteries. And what we have found with them is they are most of the time pretty haunted. Here, and it's already auto starting. Here we go. This one was from the Clarksville Cemetery. Now, if those of you who know California, if you know Sacramento and you're heading towards Lake Tahoe, that there's an awful lot of historic sites all the way through there, all the way to Tahoe. And if you go through the little town of El Dorado Hills, just as you clear, get into the first set of foothills, right on top of this one big hill overlooking the freeway, right next to it is this Pioneer Cemetery called Clarksville Cemetery. And I went out there last year and just started wandering around and gave it a try. And what was funny was the fence was laying down in the back, so I couldn't see any other way to get in there, so I walked over and I walked across this fallen down fence. Well, obviously some gentleman... decided that was not good, and I was the only live person there, but what we got was Guilty going over the fence, and it's one of my favorite EVPs. It sounds just like this, Guilty going over the fence. So here, we'll go ahead and play this. There it is. And if you enhance that, you can really pick it up. And if you go out on the GRI website, just look for Guilty in the search, and you'll find that. It's a great one. I'll play it again here. I've always liked that one. Anyway, let me pop in here, and we're going to take another one. There's one here from the Clovis Sanitarium. I think some of you guys have heard of it. Okay, I see the link here that Des Moines had for me. HoytShermansPlace.htm. Okay, let me try that. Let's just jump in here and see if we can get this to play. HoytSherman. And where was this taken at? Where is Hoyt Sherman at? I'm not familiar with that place. If you could give a little feedback to everybody so we know what we're going to be listening to here. Okay. Boy, you got a bang up website here. This is really nice. Okay, so I'm looking for the EVPs. And you even do the weather. Hey, check this out, guys. I mean, this is really nice the way he does this. It's a really nice format. I'm impressed. I mean, the whole weather situation, we do it with a different product, but it's a little more clinical, and this is actually pretty nice. And I've got a block going on here, so I'm going to allow this and see if I can get it to play. And it's just not going to let me do this. So I don't think we're going to be able to play it. But let's just go ahead and read off what this is. If you go out there and can listen to this yourself, that's what I'm going to recommend, because Des Moines has done such a good job, and I just can't play it because this browser is going to be cranky on me. Unless I can do Internet Explorer. I think I'm going to get creative here and give this a try. So we'll just do Internet Explorer. And pop that on. I'm just going to go and see if this plug-in, this thing will let me do it. Firefox, I have a lot of protections on because I'm a professional webmaster, and sometimes I have so much stuff on that it kind of comes back and bites me. So we're going to go ahead and try this and wait for the website to come up. And it's the World Wide Wait. So I'm going to let that go. And anyway, I'm going to go ahead and while that's coming up, there's one here that we picked up. I need to come up. Here we go. Oh, it's QuickTime. That's why we're all this. I see. You got a bunch of QuickTime plugins. That's what's going on. Okay. It says here one of these here. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and call in, and we'll just pop you on. That'd be good. And Rayleigh picked up on an EVP of a male. It was clear, but I enhanced it for clarity. You can hear the male voice after Jenna explains how to use the recorder. So let's go ahead and try this. I'm trying to get it to load. So it's taking its sweet time. I'm watching me call in. So while that's loading, I'm going to go ahead and play one from Clovis Sanitarium. And we picked this one up last year. I was out there hunting with some folks. Some taps were there at GHI. Got to hunt with Barry. What a really nice guy. But this one says, "You I hate out." Auto start here any second. Now, that one was picked up in Mary's room. Okay, we're going to go ahead and answer the call. And Mary's room is on the second level of Clovis Sanitarium. And I'll play it one more time, and then we'll pick up the line here. Here it goes. And let me tell you something about Clovis Sanitarium. If you've never been there, you will, after 4 or 5 hours in there, you're going to come out and you're going to be feeling a whole lot different, and you'll feel like you've been through a workout. It's a different sort of place. It's extremely haunted, and I never have been in such a place in all my time. I think if, without a doubt, one of the most haunted places, probably the top three I've ever been in. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pick the phone up here. Hey, 515, code, you're on the air.
Hey, John, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike, yeah, hey, thanks for being so patient here. Yeah, and I finally got it to load here, and it's just taking its sweet time. Oh, here we go.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, that's Jen.
Whoa. Was that? Wow. That's
pretty
good.
My wife got that down in the basement. Yeah. She gets some of the best damn EVPs. I swear to God she does.
Yeah. I'm going to play that again. I have to listen to that. That's good. Here, let me try
this. That's barely boosted.
What do you think that says?
Well, it's a male voice, and if you can really boost it up, if you wanted to, I'll send you a copy of it. But what it did is Jenna was sitting there talking. You can tell she's kind of giving instructions on how to do it and everything, and you hear the male voice saying, "Help," and a few seconds later, you hear this, "Me," like he's just trailing off with it.
Yeah, I heard this. So I heard at the end, and I wasn't sure, but you know, it's like, I've heard some of these like that. They get that kind of electronic-y thing that goes with them, and they sound like they're just kind of coming through a filter of some sort. You know, it almost sounds staggered, but that was so strange the way it sounded at the end. I you know, those are always a little different. I'm going to try to play that, just that portion back. Here we go. Oh, yeah, me at the very end there. It sounds like a man.
I got that.
Yeah,
you should have heard it when I got it. I about crapped a brick. The first thing I said to my wife is, I said, you need to get in here in this room and you need to listen to this. And that was with her and my other lead investigator, Ray Lee. She was in there with us. And I was actually upstairs talking to the board of directors at the time because I had 9 people there. And Jenna and Ray Lee were in the basement of the Hoyt Sherman place. That place has never been investigated. Never had any, you know, technically nobody's really seen any activity, but I asked them if I could come in and do it, and they were just like, oh, sure, come on in. And we're the only group that's been able to go in there. They were not allowing anybody else in as of right now.
I've had the same fortune where we have a place called Bailey House here where we just happened to be there when the caretaker was outside. And, we were real nice, and he says, oh, come on in. Normally we don't let people in, but I'm working here anyway. So we got in there, and we got the big scoop. And I know what you're saying. It's a great feeling when you can do that, and everybody goes, how the hell did you do that?
Yeah, I know, man. And, well, you see, the board of directors lady that's there, she got us tapped into another place that nobody's ever investigated either because the old board of directors wouldn't let them in. And so we're getting ready to go do that, I think, in November, but we got the Daniel S. Lee Mansion in Independence, Iowa, on October 9th and 10th.
All right. Well,
so we're doing
a lot
of historical places.
You know, that's what, you know, we are specializing in a lot of that because it's so much easier to get into a lot of these open spots without all the permissions and all the negotiation stuff. You know, we do our share of private cases, but... you know, it's just a lot of work, you know, and if you can get into some spots that are more open, and we're lucky here in California because we have just so much of it that we can do that and stay with it. But I'd like to find out more, you know, when you go to do that in October and you get done with it and you're ready, have you on and you play some of your evidence and see, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're gonna probably have that done. I'm trying to get my team to do it within a week. I want to try to get them all done within a week. So I told myself, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because we did that with the Hoyt Sherman place. We spent 3 weeks on it because it took so much. I said, now we've got enough people on the team. Let's everybody just do it and just see what we can get out of it. But speaking of the Queen Mary in Long Beach, you know where that bell is on the upper deck, you know, on the top deck, the lookout deck and everything?
Yeah.
As you're going by by the Queen's Ballroom and all that?
Yeah.
Had the best experience there. It was just the best. This is during the day. This is like around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Standing there in front of that bell, I was taking a picture of it, and I was talking to one of my friends that took me to this place, and I said, you know, this was a troop ship at one time. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I just said, man, could you imagine just going over and not ever coming back, you know, and because you died over there and everything, and all of a sudden I felt a hand on my shoulder. And he squeezed.
Oh, my God.
and my buddy was like 20 feet away from me, so and there was nobody standing around me.
I stayed there in March. I went down there by myself, and I was supposed to hook up with Journey Paranormal, and for various reasons we got into trouble trying to do that. We just couldn't seem to connect, and so I hunted. I did that ghost hunt there. That's every week, and. And we actually went down into the POW holding area in the lower cargo hold. And it was actually dangerous. You had to climb down this little ladder, and it's a 60-foot drop. And, you know, and you're I was the first one down, and I was clutching that thing like death's grip, you know. But we had an 8-degree temperature drop down there in 10 minutes, which is, if you have any idea of the energy transfer it would take to do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing, and we could see our breaths, and we actually got German EVPs.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I'm not kidding. It was something.
a lot of people don't know this about the Queen Mary, but they did transport German POWs back to the United States on that ship.
That's exactly where we were. We were in that hold where they put them, and what they do is they put them down there, and there was no getting out of it, and they couldn't. They were locked down. There was the ladder has a kind of a locking mechanism at the top, and no one, you couldn't get out of there if you tried. There's no way.
Sure.
And so we had a bunch of there. Matter of fact, I've got a bunch of that. It's a forward cargo hold. If you scan for that on our site, you can actually. I've got 51 EVPs from there. And
right.
I think I'm just looking around right now at some of the stuff we picked up. I'm looking for that. We were on our deck, I think it was, and I was basically alone in the Grand Ballroom. Did you ever get into there?
They had it closed down while we were there. They were getting ready for a wedding party or something like that. But the best part was is we had a guy that was actually working on the ship. He was like a purser for the ship and everything, and he walked up to me and he goes, "You want to go in there?" And I said, "Heck yeah, man." He goes, "Let me get my keys." And he got me in.
So you got in.
And yeah, I got in, and I sat down and I was taking some EVP work, and I got a couple of good ones out of there, but you know, nothing that, you know, really stands out. I got a lot of music in the background, you know, like light piano music, and there was no music playing at the time. But yeah, I got that, and I think my wife, she plays piano, and she listened to it, and she goes, "Oh, that's the first couple of notes from Don Cachet." Like that. Like, all right, that's cool. You know. But the one place I got the best EVPs out of is Hollywood Forever, man.
Where?
Hollywood Forever.
Is that on the ship?
No, that's actually downtown LA,
Yeah. Hollywood Forever.
That was fun. Yeah, it's the oldest. Well, it's the smallest but oldest cemetery that has a ton of people in it. It's got, you know, Mel Blanc is buried there. Valentino's buried there. Bugsy Siegel is buried there and everything, or interred there. Joy Ramone, I believe, is there. There's a whole bunch of them there. And the one place that we went into is the one where Bugsy Siegel is buried at. And I was talking a lot of smack about Bugsy and everything and got shoved.
Yeah, I guess, when you start picking up a mob figure who's dead and can interact with you.
Yeah, he got killed. Well, the only thing I said to him, I said, "Well, Bugsy thought he was a big bad guy, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of other guys that was way bigger than he was, you know." And all of a sudden, we're walking away, and the only thing I feel is this big shove, you know. So I was like, "Wow," you know. But if you ever have a chance to go in there, just make sure you hide your camera and your digital recorder, and go to the one something called the Psalms. It's the biggest one there. 7,000 people buried in that thing.
Oh my God!
And the Valentino one.
Yeah, and then you can just go in and do your thing, and hopefully pull out something there.
Yeah, just don't get caught with a camera.
Yeah. Well, I've got one here from the Grand Ballroom. I'm going to pop this one on. This was picked up on our deck in the Grand Ballroom, and I was all alone. There was some people, there was some cleaners way off in the distance running vacuum cleaners, but this didn't pick up any of that. And when I pulled it off later, I couldn't believe what I picked up, and believe me, you'll hear this. So I'm going to pop in here and let it load. Give it a second. The worldwide wait out was good. Here we go. You heard that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, it says "Rumium absolve me," and this guy sounds like Nicolas Cage. I was the only guy there. That ain't my voice, and so I'll play it one more time. Here we go.
Sure. Yeah.
Rumium absolve me.
Rumium. Now I've been out trying to find out what that means, and. Some folks have given me some interesting clues as to what rumium might mean, and I've been looking at it from either Spanish or Latin or something from European terminology. So if anybody, Boogeyman wants me to play it again, okay, I'll play that for you. Here we go.
And
if you go out to our website, you can actually download all our clips are downloadable. So you can just go in and off to the right of every clip, there's a download link. So if you guys want to pull it down and try to analyze that, and then mail me what you think it is, I'd sure appreciate it, because if it can be discounted as something else, great. If it's if you can tell me what the words mean, I'd be very appreciative. But yeah, that Queen Mary is just unbelievable. I mean, how did you feel when you were on it?
I felt like I was at home. I mean, literally, because I'm ex-military, and I was sitting here. My grandfather was on that ship when he went over to England, and I was like, I was sitting here looking for his name in the passenger log and all that. They actually had a passenger log that they would allow you to look at and everything, and I asked him to pull it up, and my grandpa's name was in there. I said, all right, where was he actually birthed at? He was actually birthed in the pool area.
Whoa.
So I asked the purser, I said, is there any way that I can get to the pool area to see where my granddad was actually, put in? He goes, oh, yeah, come on. Took me down the elevator and took me down a couple of flights of steps, and boom, we were there. And, and he said, no, you got to remember this pool has not been used since 1950-something, is what he said. He wouldn't tell me exact date on it, but he said it was like 1950-something. And then he says to me, he goes, now people see water of feet, coming out of it. And Esther said, well, yeah, and granddad talked about it and everything else. But he said that the only thing that scared him about the whole place was the engine room.
Oh, really?
Because he had full guard duty in the engine room.
Is that by the door 13 where that guy, one guy got killed?
Mm-hmm.
Erased the door. And then had a bad day. Yeah, because he died in the 60s. I mean, that was not a terribly long ago accident.
Yeah, but there was something else that happened in there prior to that. He said he wasn't too sure about that place. But
yeah,
they
said there were like a number of accidents in there, and but I because we toured the whole, we did the whole thing. It was like a 4-hour, 5-hour hunt, and we walked all through there, and there was a lot of opportunity to get yourself killed in there. Still even dangerous to watch yourself, but I just get in there and you go, my God, where does it end?
I was going to say, the one thing we did is we went to the Ford Foxhole, and we actually sat in there and did an EVP session. That was fun.
What did you get?
I got a lot of knocks and bangs. And it was like they were answering back. I'd ask a question, once for yes, two for no, and boom, I was getting them within seconds.
Now, you were hearing these, or were these just caught on EVP and you heard them after?
I was hearing them and catching them. I was like, wow. And my buddy was there with me, and the first thing he says, he goes, I've never done this before. And I was like, really? And Esther said, you've never heard this stuff before either? And he goes, nope. And it was me, the purser, and my buddy, we were all three sitting there, and we were sitting on chairs, because they had it carpeted. It was really nice, the Ford one. Really nice. And so we were just sitting there, and we were getting knocks on the wood. We were getting bangs on the floor. I mean, we were getting all kinds of stuff. I mean, you could feel it. I mean, you can absolutely feel it in your rear end and on your feet and everything else. And, I mean, that room, it was hotter than blue blazes when we went in there, and it went and dropped temperature like nobody's business. I mean, we walked out of there. I think my infrared thermometer said it was like 67 degrees, you know, and I was like, wow, that was quick, and there was no air conditioning running in that front of that, in that foxhole.
I'll tell you what, so. I stayed there on the main deck. I stayed just where you check in. I was in about 200 feet down the hall around the corner from the desk, and I didn't get 10 steps into that ship from where you just walk in off of the elevator area. And mm-hmm. I took a look and I went, oh my God. I mean, you could feel it. And what was strange was everywhere you went, it wasn't, I've been in places where, on haunts where you walk in and you get that feeling. And I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying, but you walk into a place, they'll suddenly hit a zone where you feel like you're on the ocean and you don't feel quite right. And you kind of know that you're in the presence of something. The thing was that was the whole ship.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the whole ship was like that. You couldn't get away from it. It was everywhere. And I came back with just a boatload of EVPs out of there. And I would guess you had the same experience.
Yeah, all mine were military, all of them, because I guess I was, you know, I had the thought of the military more or less in my head when I walked in there, because I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what would it have looked like as a troop ship? You know, I was like, because I'm a World War II buff, you know,
yeah,
and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at them like, okay, because all the wood paneling would have been gone, it would have been battleship gray in the inside of it, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, where all these shops are, they wouldn't have been here. They've probably been infirmary, chow hall, you know, whatever, you know. And then I was sitting there out there looking on the deck, you know, from the top view, as you know, as close as you can get to the front of it, because they had it blocked off, because I guess some of the boards were peeling up and it was getting too dangerous out there. And yeah. I'm sitting there like, can you imagine having thousands upon thousands of guys just sitting on the front of this ship, you know, going to their death? And as soon as I said that, it was like one after another after another after another.
Yeah, and they were dying from the overcrowding. I mean, they had 15,000 to 16,000 guys, you know,
mm-hmm.
on some of these trips, and they were, and the ship was traveling so fast that the German U-boats couldn't even hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And the boats that were defending them, the ships that were defending them, were doing zigzags along with the Queen Mary, you know, to make it even harder, and so. You know, I think Hitler even had a bounty out on that ship, you know,
mm-hmm.
$200,000 to the first U-boat captain that could take it out, you know. And it was not the only troop transport. I think there was one other ship that was similar.
Yeah, there was.
I'm trying to remember the name, but it escapes me at the moment. But
wasn't
yeah,
it
I
the
mean,
Star of India?
I don't think the Star of India. I think the Star of India is a much smaller sailing type vessel. But there was another Queen Mary equivalent that was pressed into service. And somebody out there, if they can look it up on you know, Wikipedia, take a look at that. But I'm looking at your site here too. Just kind of bopping back to your case here at this Hoyts. Can you describe this Hoytsman place, by the way?
Hoyt Sherman place. Yeah, Hoyt Sherman. It was actually a mansion that was actually converted in the 20s. A women's club of Des Moines actually owns the home now. But they built another section on the house where the old wraparound porch was. They built a gallery in there, and it's got oil paintings from all time periods. And then you go to the other side of the house, and you go through two double doors, and you're actually in the theater. Now they have a theater connected to it. And so we got the theater, the home, and the gallery. So we got to do the whole entire house. Now it's four stories with a bell tower. And to kind of give you kind of an or kind of give you some of the history about it. Now Hoyt Sherman is William Tecumseh Sherman's youngest brother. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Excuse me, I was sitting here swallowing a Coke.
Oh, that's right.
I
and,
choked when I had to talk.
Killed
the host.
What he did. Well, here's the thing about this guy. He actually served in the Northern Army. He was actually a paymaster for the Northern Army. He was also the postmaster general here in Iowa for a couple of years, and he also started a lot of the insurance buildings. He built the Equitable Building downtown, which is still standing today. But his family, now they're all buried in Woodland Cemetery, right across the street, about a block and a half down the street from the home. The one thing about the place is that when Hoyt built it, it was in 1877. Now, he purchased the land in 1856, I believe, and right before the Civil War. He never built his home until after he got back. Now, his brother William Tecumseh Sherman actually came back and lived with him for about 3 or 4 months in his home because he couldn't go back to his home state because they wanted to kill him. He is the most well-hated man in the South, so people were out to kill him. So he couldn't do that for a while, but what he did is he brought his brothers here. Now his brother Lamsa and his other brother, I think his name was Joseph, the two other brothers came to came to Des Moines, they lived with him too for a little bit until they got up on their feet. But the Lamps have built or made the Des Moines Register. He actually was the first newspaper. He created the first newspaper here. Now the Hoyt Sherman Vault, I mean, is right down the street. You can't miss it. I mean, you go up to the top of the hill, it's right there. It's the biggest vault there. But it's got him and his kids and his wife that are buried in there. He was just a great guy. I mean, all the way around, he was just smart, business savvy, and everything else. He just had it going on, you know. But we know that he died in the home, and so did Sarah, his wife. They both passed away in the home. We know that there are several other people that passed away in the home, especially one of the women's club members that fell down the back staircase and broke her neck.
Ooh.
So we got a woman saying, and one of the EVPs on there, I don't know if I even put that on there, you hear her say, I'm going to play it safe, and another woman saying, oh, how lovely. Like they're bickering back and forth between each other.
Oh, I get those. We get those kind of where you hear them talking amongst themselves and they don't realize they're being picked up and they're treasures, you know, because, you know, you're getting interactions amongst them.
Yeah.
I love that kind of thing.
I'm
looking at little ones here.
Oh,
you've got a couple. You've got these two little girl ones. One saying, I miss you, and this is in the nursery room.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to play both of these and just for fun.
They're real light. You can barely hear them, but they're real light. I try to boost them and everything, and it's really impossible because they're so low on the frequency scale. But you can give it a try.
Let's see what we get. Oh, that was real light. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I heard it.
You can hear
her say. Yeah, let me play it one more time. I've got something like that from the St. George Hotel in Volcano, where we were talking about a little. I was trying to get this girl to talk. I could actually sense her, and I was trying to get her to talk to me. And I said something about boys, and you hear this real life boys. It was just treasure,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and the best EVP I've ever gotten. Now this is the best one. You'll get a kick out of it. Is I get a guy saying. While we're at the tea house in Des Moines, you'll probably see the some of it in there. I'm not sure if you'll be able to pick it up. I'm not sure which one it is in there. It's been a while since I've been on that page. But you'll hear me say, well, I'm going to go out and have a smoke, and I'll be back. You know, you hear me, I'll be back, you know, here in a few minutes, and all of a sudden you hear this guy say, okay, and a few seconds later, good.
Is that on this page here?
No, that's on the tea house page.
House
investigation page.
We got a growl here, and we got how lovely. Oh, that's the one. That's the one you were talking about. The how lovely.
Oh,
the female. Yeah, let me try that one.
Yeah, sure.
Go with it. Oh, I heard that. It's real lightly.
Yeah, and guess who got that one? My wife got it. She's good. I'm telling you, I can take her out to this place called Scotch Ridge Cemetery. And the one time that me and Grant went out there, and she sat in the car because it was too freaking cold for her to get out, so we went out and did a little short session out there. Me and Grant got two clicks in my digital recorder, and he got two booms in his. It sounded like two shotgun blasts.
Yeah.
And then we get an EVP of a woman saying, move out of the way.
Oh, my God.
And this is the best part. My wife's family... is buried out there, and we picked up her aunt. My wife come home and she goes, she's listening to it and she goes, oh my God, that's my aunt.
So she popped in to say hi while you guys are out working.
Yeah,
that's good.
And it's like every
family. I think that would be kind of cool actually to go out where my family's buried. I've got to try that.
You know, some of the better EVPs, too, is if you go to a church and you just sit in an auditorium when there's nobody there. I went over to St. Augustine's here in Des Moines one day just to go for Mass and everything, and after Mass, everybody left and all that, and I was the only one sitting in there. I'm just sitting there with a digital recorder, and I go, is there anybody here that wants to talk? And the only thing you hear is this one woman say, is this heaven? And you hear another guy say, no. And then you hear another guy say, this is church.
Well, some might be, I don't know. I mean, some people, I guess, get confused after they leave.
I have a theory about it, John. My theory is that, and here's just the theory of it, is, okay, when you die, what's the one place you're planning on going? If it's not heaven or it's not hell, what would be the one place you would go to that you would feel like you were at home?
I'd go out to the explosives test area where I work and watch guys setting stuff off, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for other average day Joes, I mean, I imagine they would probably go to a place where they would recognize, and that would be either their home or church.
Yeah.
It's a safe place. You know?
They would be around their homes and or place of work, actually. We tend to get cases where people are having things at work. A lot of people spend most of their life at work, so we get those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? We got Boogeyman is out there wanting to get in on this, so we've got five minutes left on the show, so I'm going to give him a shot at popping whatever he's got here. So.
Sure.
Boogeyman, you are on the air, my friend. Are you there?
Sorry. Yeah, this is Boogeyman. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. We got only about 4 minutes left, so we're going to have to make it quick. I just only did an hour show tonight.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of caught it. I live in San Antonio, and I just clicked online, and there's a tower, okay, which is I drove by there, actually. And it's supposedly a legend. Actually, I know it's true. It's an old stone tower. It goes straight up, you know. And it's built. It is actually stones were put in my hand, you know. And it's. I mean, this is. It's not like a break. This is. So I went by there and I found. This is actually this is true. I know because what happened is it was a lookout for Fort Sam. Okay, way back in Apache days, you know. And it's on. Yeah. It's on this hill. It's on this hill. And because when you walk up there, there's also these, like, there's a few buildings up there, too. Like, you can see the base of the buildings. They still put them in there, you know. Buildings are gone, but, you know, like, there was, like, people live there. But I just posted online. There's a, well, I'm going to check this out. Supposedly, there's a light up in the tower, you know, at the very top. Seriously, supposedly, the story goes, they are, I guess, sentries, you know, that are still wandering around there in the evening. I'll check that out myself. I never heard about that, but I drive by there all the time. I go up there so often, you know. But who knows? I mean, supposedly, I just happened to see that one. But no, this is showing quite interesting, you know. But I have a question for you about the EVP thing, right?
Okay.
How is it that you let's say get these things? I mean, how is that? Like, how you go about doing that? You know.
Well. Everybody has their own methods, but they're generally the same, and I think Des Moines would agree. Generally, I tend to do two types of EVP taking. One is if I'm in an area where I think that there's a chance that maybe my presence might disturb anything from coming in, I'll leave what I call a drop recorder, and I'll just let it pick up things. And quite often I'll get activity when I'm not there, and the recorder picks up all this stuff going on. But quite a bit of the time for most of my investigations, I keep a recorder running full time from start of investigation to the very end. And I don't know about Des Moines how they do that, but it's pretty similar across the board. It just depends on the case and what resources you have, how many people you have, that kind of thing. So we got about 1 minute left. I hope that answers basically.
Oh, yeah, I was curious. I might try to get that a little more myself, too. But I just came across, I'm going to check that tower story out more because, you know, it's so close to me. I didn't know about it. But no, I just was showing you got an excellent show going here. I really enjoyed it. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and definitely get out there and give that a try.
But I have to. I know it's better.
Yeah.
I know the store anyway.
Yeah, just take a recorder up and drop it down in the there if you can get in there or nearby and then see.
No, you can't get in there. It's all boarded up. It's impossible to get in. It's all locked up. You know,
you can just
it's not like
outside.
Let's just say you can't get in this thing, okay? Because it's you can't say there's kids up there, okay? Because this thing is all locked up inside. You know, they've locked it up so they don't get inside. You know, this tower. There's no way you get inside this tower. It's gated off and stuff. And well, but no, I just
hey,
want to
real quick. We've got 15 seconds, so this
well,
will continue.
You got a good show going there, and keep the good work.
If you want to stay on, we're going to lose the 5 seconds. We're going to lose the stream, but we'll still be on, so we can all keep talking. And
sure.
That'll be an archive show. So now we're off stream. I just wanted to get that in, so folks
yeah.
know continuing. But anyway, go ahead and go with what you were saying. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, well, like I said, supposedly the store I just caught online because I put in, Ghost San Antonio, and there's this tower, okay? It's an old stone tower, and it was a lookout tower for the Fort Sam Houston, which is San Antonio, way back when this was Apache days, when Apache Winnie's running around around here, and this lookout tower. And the story goes, sentries, okay, apparently will, or I guess trapped wandering around there, and late at night sometimes you can see the lanterns. In the evening.
Yeah.
But there's one story which I think everybody has heard in San Antonio. There's this supposedly way back when, okay, school bus. A lot of kids got wrecked by a train or something. And if you go there, supposedly now, and put your car there, your car will be pushed across the tracks, or it says where your windshield's been broken and stuff. Push your car. We'll say you turn the car off. Actually, on YouTube, about it, to see what it's all about. Actually, but no. Supposedly, it goes like this. There's kids. There's way back when, sometime, a train hit the school bus. Everybody was killed, apparently. And now, if you would park your car there or put your car there, your car will be pushed over the tracks, or if it's to the line, the windshield's been broken and stuff.
Variations on that story from a number of places, so that it would be interesting to go research that for one, just to find out when it happened.
I researched one of them.
Oh yeah, what'd you get?
Nothing. I did it down in Centerville, where my wife's family's from, and I went down there to those tracks and had my niece in the car. And I said, "Let's see if it works." And she sat there and she goes, "Oh, it works." And I sat there and did it. And nothing. So
well,
I was just like, "Okay, that was a waste of time."
Okay, so story. Well, let's suppose this story is true. I don't know if that's that way.
Usually those things like that are urban legends. Wouldn't you agree, John?
I think so. I mean, it's funny. It's like now one that I wouldn't discount was like my niece didn't realize I was into the paranormal until she came over here and saw my show in full swing, and just she thought it was the coolest thing she ever saw, and she started telling me stuff. And she lives out in Colorado, and she said, "Uncle John, there's this thing that goes on out by our place." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, the kids all go out, and we'll sit at this one end of one road where there's this is in Aurora, Colorado, and end of this road, and there will be you'll actually hear dancing and singing, and it sounds like Indians." And it's very spooky, and it gets louder and closer until everybody decides to leave. And so this is one of those things, I said, "Well, can you go out there for me and take a recorder?" And she says, "Hell no, I'm not going out there by myself." But I said, "Well, take friends." And I said, "I'd be interested to see if you got it, and we could put you on the show." And I'm still having
a John, I'll meet you halfway. I'll go.
Yeah, you're closer to her than I am.
Yeah, I know it's only, about a two-day drive for me, and just, a two-and-a-half-day drive for you?
I think it's two-and-a-half for me, so it'd be, you're slightly closer. I just got to go over the Rockies, and you're right there, because you're at the foot. But,
yeah.
Does activity happen around you guys, just around you? Because stuff happens around me all the time that really can't be logically explained, not really in a way.
Yeah, the thing with the paranormal, for those of us that are in it, I've been around this my entire life. I mean, I grew up with a family who were, my mother's side are all Scottish Highlanders, and they're all psychic as hell. And they each have little different gifts, and I got my own little, thing out of it, that I could see things out of the corner of my eye, and I could hear them. I'm clairaudient, so I picked these things up, and I got to the point, because I'm a scientist, that's the other part of my life, is that's what I do, I work at propulsion science. And I just decided, if I'm going to have to deal with this, I might as well categorize it and start to treat it, in a scientific manner, and approach it from that aspect. So that's, I don't know about, what Des Moines is going through, but, can you tell us what your
I bring them home with me. That's a weird thing. I bring them home for some odd reason. My wife is the sensitive here in the family, and the ones that I bring home with me, they don't last for very long in here with my wife. It just doesn't work. She goes, there's too many in the house. You got to get rid of some. And I was like, I don't want them here. And she goes, well, we'll take care of it real quick. And her granddad and her father are here, so they usually do the kicking out. So,
they kick them out?
I don't have to worry. Yeah, they kick them out. And they're dead. Both her grandfather and her father are dead, and they're kind of the rulers of the roost around here. So if me and Jen get into a fight, I can guarantee something's going to break in this house, and it's usually something of mine. So.
Oh, boy.
I would say with me, the most paranormal type thing that really blows your mind, okay, which unequivocally, stuff happens, okay, but what happened was one time I had a friend, okay, and I was going to send Dave over to the store because he'll be lunch, or he'll hit a sports store, and
right.
And it's like the most real rainy, nasty days outside. I just want to be outside, so I was out there most of the day, actually all day. And in the morning, the door, okay, was kind of basically opened, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was kind of weird because when I went out, and it just opened a little crack, you know? It opened all the way, let's say, like you pull the door open. But so when I went out there, you know, I thought it was kind of odd because it opened, and it was also a very windy day also. And the wind would have been going against the grain. In other words, the wind would have been pushing against the glass, so theoretically, that'd be kind of hard to do. But after a while, it started happening again, and I went outside. This time, I don't know if there was no wind. This kind of, and you would know this happened because he had little chimes by the door. In other words, the door opens, it little chimes go, you know. So every time, you have no door, to, you could hear the door open. This happened throughout the day. Throughout the day, it was freaking my buddy out, okay? Me, it doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. But the door kept on opening. Say if you open the door and walk in, pretty much, all right? And it's happened right. Throughout the day quite often. And so, but the thing that blew my mind, right around 5:30, I was about right around 5, watching national news, I believe. And he's got this little face which goes across. I had my back, okay, I was watching the news. There's a TV right there. He's watching, okay? And I heard these doors, the chimes, okay? You have to see the door, some chimes, okay? I turned around real quick one way, okay? And I saw this, I guess, gray mass apparition, what do you call it, okay? Go all the way across the room, okay? Dead on, not side of your eye thing, okay? No, dead on, all right? And Zach, same thing, he turned the exact opposite way, all right? And I said, you see that? He said, yeah. That's what that would say, okay? So we saw something, too. Now that's, and then, kind of after I left that evening, he said as soon as I left, it stopped, and that door never kind of opened like that again. Mm-hmm. It kind of blows your mind in a way. That's the thing which would probably be the most stuff happens around me, but that right there, because he said that never happened before like that either, you know. But things like that around, but that's the first time you can say you saw something, and someone else thought you saw something too. That same thing. Like I said, this was not out of the corner of my thing, you know. I watched it go across the room, you know? So, that right there, I probably would say qualifies for the most. I bet some other things happen, too, where things will say have appeared. Well, I'll give you one story, okay? There was a, I came home one day, and I could just pour the short state because what happened, I came home, I checked my mail, right? I came out of my apartment, put on my couch, right? I was looking at the junk mail, and there were two bills I put on the couch, all right? When I looked at the junk mail, I looked over. When I was looking at the junk, I looked over the couch and see the bill. So I looked over the floor, there were okay. It was all in my apartment, couldn't find them. Mom came the next day, she didn't see nothing there. So I said, well, forget someone just call for some new bills, but I didn't see them anywhere. And they weren't around, period. And so about 3 or 4 days later, I came home, all right, from work, my apartment. And I went apartment, and I noticed, at my couch here, right in front of the coffee table, all right, right on the floor, on dead side between the floor and the coffee table were these two bills lying on the floor. And it was like 2-3 days went by, and also someone else came in and didn't see nothing either. So some these things, it's not like you can say, well, you misplaced on it. This happened in dead on site, you know. They weren't there.
What's funny is that kind of thing is very common, especially when a spirit is trying to get your attention. This is, Mike, I don't know if you've seen these kinds of things, but, we've had cases where that's been a marker that, hey, there's somebody trying to get your attention, and we just have them point out where that's occurring, and then we actually try to question the entity, and find out what they're trying to get the point across about.
Right.
This happens quite often. I mean, I've had another situation which is very almost like that exactly, which is my little more extreme, I guess you could say, possibly. I ordered these two magazines, all right? One magazine. It had autograph of a professional football. So I got this thing, and I went and showed my buddy. He had this store. I went to show him one of those malls, and I took it, I showed him. I brought it back home, right? When I got in my car, I couldn't see it anywhere. So I called down there, and I said, hey, did I leave that magazine down? He said, no, you take it with you. So I took all of my apartment, all over the place, all right? Everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Tore it apart, okay, because it's, autographed, I mean, what places it couldn't have been. I mean, the entire apartment, right? Well, so I figured, well, you know what? Maybe I left it at the mall and someone turned lost and found. When all lost and found everywhere wasn't there. I mean, I called around in the whole mall. So I figured it's gone. I left it, maybe I dropped it. Who knows? Okay, it was gone. And I put in the car, just took off. So no matter what, it was gone. So I was kind of bummed out for a couple of weeks. Then I have a closet on top of the shelf. One of the closets inside, right? On the very top of the shelf is this magazine. On the top, you just have to look there. Now, that was not there anyway. No way, because I'm in an apartment.
The odd thing about that is,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's a real common experience to have these things happen, and I would be, in your case, I mean, given these sorts of things that are happening, I would be, if I were you, I would get an EVP recorder, and I take it that these are continuing to happen. So if it were me,
oh yeah, my stereo's turned on all by itself. Well. What happens, I have a stereo, right? Stereo, and it has like a stick CD changer, right? And to turn it on, okay, make it go around, you have to turn the stereo on, hit the remote a little way. Well, the stereo, I'm not saying the stereo turned music on, the remote CD changer turned on, you see? This happens very so often, too. And to do it, you can't just hit the stereo and do it. You got to go to the remote and hit something on the remote to do it. Now, this happens in the other room.
Now, that can be explained. That's pretty easy to explain right there, right?
Explain to me.
Yeah, go ahead,
you got to understand, a remote is infrared, okay? And it runs on the same frequencies. Usually, infrared runs on the same frequency as, let's say your digital camera or, things like that. Any electronic device can be switched on or off due to magnetic field fluctuations. It could be somebody that lives next door to you that has a remote that's running on the same frequency. Remote control cars are able to do that. CBs, if you're close to a highway, a CB can kick that thing on.
Exactly.
So,
set it
possible.
Off, so,
I mean, I've never. Yeah. That's possible, but I mean, see, it's like I'm not in there. Yeah, who knows? Okay, I guess that's one possibility, right? The tell us has got is that. But that's a possibility to explain. What I could do is I'm just trying to find a way to explain it and try to overdo it, Like, how does this logically happen? But the thing with the magazines, but these things have happened quite a bit around me, And so I'm going to try to say, I kind of love seeing them a little bit because it's like these things happen on a regular basis.
I would just get a team to come in there and investigate it just for fun, just to see what they find. Just get a hold of somebody.
It's amazing how these things really happen on me because they happen on. Well, the thing with the magazine, okay, is unexplainable, okay? No way in the world it wasn't there. But the thing that blows your mind about that one, I know the last place I had was in the mall, okay, which was like 7 miles away from Liv. It wasn't my apartment. So that thing launched it to come back. It had to, I think, travel 7 miles. But that thing, there's no way that was there. I'll give you another one. There's no way in the world that magazine was there. No way. I saw that apartment apart. I saw places it couldn't fit.
Well, you know, before you go on, I mean, this sort of stuff happens to a lot of people. I mean, for example, the property I'm on, we're on a haunted gold mine. I mean, I'm out here in Northern California, and the thing that we, you know, we've gotten to the point where we're so used to it, it doesn't even faze us anymore. Now, I came home the other day, and, you know, I've got a father who's had a stroke. A lot of things have been happening the last 2 years since he's had this. And, you know, I've talked with other paranormal teams and people who really, you know, had experience in these kinds of cases. And, you know, a lot of folks are thinking that we've got family coming in. Well, something happened here last week to my mother, and I got home, and I wasn't home 10 minutes, and my mother comes up to me bug-eyed, and she says, "Guess what happened now?" And I says, "What?" And she says, I was making coffee, and she had the dishes in the sink, and she was just, you know, the coffee had just finished, you know, coming down the pot. And she had a Coke can sitting there, and it had a little bit of Coca-Cola left in it. So the floor, you know, the tile was dry under there. There's no way this could have happened on its own. No fans on, no nothing. And she's as rational as, you know, as you can see. I mean, she knows paranormal from not paranormal. And that Coke can, all of a sudden, she looks over and the Coke can is being moved slowly towards the edge where it would drop off, and she caught it before it actually traveled up the lip. It was actually migrating up the lip to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it back, and she thought, "I'm going to test that out." And she felt where it had been, and it was dry. So she put it down again and just sat back and says, "Do that again." And it did. It did a second time, and she watched it go all the way to the edge. She caught it again, and then I said, "Well, did you feel anything that was cold?" She says, "No." She goes, "That's what I was looking for. I was figuring it was going to be like something off taps. You know, okay, where's the cold spot?" And there was none.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens. I mean, all I'm saying to you is that, you know, you probably have a haunt of some sort going on.
Yeah, but I'm like you. It doesn't bother me because it's like. A normalcy thing,
but,
you know? It wouldn't bother me at all. I'd care less. It doesn't bother me at all.
But just be, you know, what I'm saying is that said, don't look for the paranormal in everything, you know, because...
No, I don't. What I try to do is this, okay? I try to, when something happens, okay, I try to find a way to explain it, okay? Logically,
right.
You know? But see, not try to, oh, I'm haunted by a ghost type thing. No. Just the opposite, okay? In other words, how could this happen? You know, how could this lot, like the thing about the magazine, okay? There's some things you just can't explain about that, especially when people have come in also. And so what I try to do is just the opposite. In other words, I'll try to say, okay, how exactly did this happen? You know, like you said, the electrical thing, that's a possibility, right? I'm not going to say all that it doesn't, okay? But, there's quite a few things that, as far as you know, you said the remote thing, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. So like I say, you know, I try to do the opposite and try to say, well, I'm haunted by ghosts and stuff. No, I just try to do the exact opposite. Okay. But logically, how did that happen? You know,
well,
how did you think?
The question I have for you is this, and something for you to consider. These things are happening, at some frequency, and I'm hoping that you're keeping a log of everything and when they're happening and what's happening and, you know, and who was present. That'll be your first best thing to do.
This also doesn't just happen in my apartment. It happens in other places where I go.
That's exactly where I was going to go with this, is, you know, keep the log and try to see where it happens other places. And not only that, where it doesn't happen. And that'll start giving you more of a picture of what's going on. So, you know, all I'm saying is get a log.
I just write it down, but I did it for quite a while. I've had things disappear around here that had a little waste basket in my apartment, which it just disappeared. I ain't seen it since. I've had things where another one. Okay, well, I don't take a lot of time, but there were. I lost a tool bag. I don't lose a tool bag. Let's say, it definitely falls in that area too. Okay, which you really can't explain it. Like I say, when I try to do something happens, I try to find a way. Okay. How does this happen? You know, is there a way it happens? You know, because things happen all the time like that, you know, every so often. So try to find a way to disprove it, I guess, that's the way, right? Instead of, you know, try to say, okay, In other words, you know, try to find a way to prove it logically, or tell someone, hey, how this happened. And when you, that's what I said.
Okay, now I'm going to ask a question. How long has this been happening to you?
These things?
Yeah.
Gosh, years, I'd say 4 or 5 years, 6 years, roughly like that. I don't think it hasn't been a totally coincidental thing now.
And in that time frame, something must have preceded that to stimulate this. So, did you get in an accident? Did you have a death in the family? Did you have some traumatic event that took place? I'm just curious as to how
So the time period where I'm thinking of when I first actually noticed stuff. I don't think so. No, I was thinking of one.
You haven't had an NDE or anything like that, a near-death experience at all?
For me?
Where you were clinically dead?
Have I had a near-death experience?
The reason why he's asking that question, and I know where John's going with this because I've dealt with it before, and John, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
Is PKE.
Yep. That's exactly where I'm going.
You see, John, it's really weird, man, that we know each other that well. Because I've dealt with PKE cases, and I'll tell you exactly what they are. PKE is psychokinetic energy. That means a part of your brain is woken up just merely, you know, because either you've had a lot of stress in your life, you've had a death, or you've had a near-death experience, or there's a chemical change within you. Sometimes it's produced by chemical, you know, such as, you know, prescription medication, or you've had a trauma injury to your head, like say for instance you got hit by something, you had to have stitches, somehow brain chemicals change. But it could possibly be that. The one true test about that is there's a true
I'm
test
jump
to it.
Real quick here. Can I jump in real quick?
John.
Just gonna say that and I'm just doing this because the show may cut off automatically. So if we lose everything, just know it wasn't me. Okay, but go on.
Hey, John, I'll call you here after the show.
Okay, yeah, but keep going.
Yeah. Well, PKE, it usually happens in women, not a whole lot in men. Be prepared, you know, if that's what it is. It's not that bad. It's very short-lived. So, you know,
what do you mean? Be prepared for what?
It just bothers me.
I mean,
I know, but and I'm not saying it is you, but it could possibly be. You know what I mean? Where your brain is doing something, you don't even realize you're doing it. You know, I've done a case study here with a 1 PKE female. She's in her late 40s, going through menopause. She can actually pitch a golfing trophy across the room at her husband when she's mad.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what Dan's saying?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. So that's a possible explanation.
And I have actually sent her off to Harvard Medical School for testing, and she come back positive for PKE, and then 2 years later, she's done. It's over with.
Now, this is something I've noticed. When I first started actually noticing things, I can probably put a timeline on it. An event happened, I won't go into detail because I'm running out of time, Something happened. Nothing like to me, not a traumatic brain thing, you know, nothing like that, okay? No near-death experience, nothing like that happened to me, all right? Nothing like that. Definitely, like I say, things have happened, and I did write it down for quite a while. I just got it from my computer. What happened? You know, the details. And I put fine details on it. I put the dates on there. I probably should have. Because most people blows away, you know. So, like, you live like a black hole or something, you know, vortex. but the thing is, for me, it doesn't just happen in my apartment. I've noticed it happening in other places, too.
Right. And that's the reason why I'm kind of drawing it back towards you, possibly. I'm seeing it, and I don't know if John's seeing it, but I'm kind of having a feeling like this is going to be more PKE than anything.
That's exactly what I thought. I mean, Boogeyman, I've had you on before, and I've heard you've told some of the same stories before.
Yeah.
And I have a suspicion that what's going on is, you know, either, you know, one of two things is happening, the PKE or you're haunted. It's one or the other.
Well, there's somebody a question. Somebody, you know, it wouldn't bother me the way around. But okay, if it's the PKE thing, I'm just kind of, you know, meat-picking doing stuff, all right? See, and like I can like a transfer. How do you explain that one thing where the door was opening and closing on a regular basis? And that's not the first time this happened either, okay? That's happened in other places too, where doors, but also there's like this apparition that went across. So, and someone else saw it too.
Ever since my father had his stroke, you know, we've been having a massive increase in paranormal activity, including full-blown doors opening and closing, things disappearing, the works. And this is very common with, and I'm not saying this is you, but I'm saying in my dad's case, this is probably it. He's had a major change in the brain, and it's caused this whole set of events to kick off. And you know, I've had to kind of guide my mother through it, and this is part of the reason I did this show, and I've gone into the paranormal back again because I had to go find these answers. But I knew what I was doing, and you know. But in your case, I don't think you have brain damage, but I do think that something has kicked off that area of your brain. If it is PKE, and it's worth having you know, somebody who knows something about this look into it, and at least, you know, make the question, you know, find out is it happening or not, and what could be going on. The other thing is a real cheap way to find out if it's a spirit is EVP. You know, get a recorder and go out there and give it a shot, and you may be surprised. And if so, then you'll know that it's probably a ghost versus, you know, PKE.
I'm not quite sure why I say this, but the thing that kind of got me the most is when I saw, let's say that, obviously, you know, apparition, we call it, go across the room, okay? You know, if I say that would even qualify for PKE, would it?
Well, it could. I've had, in the case of my father, we started noticing apparitional activity around him every time. And I began to suspect that maybe what we were seeing was something like the etheric body of my father, if you will, basically stepping out and then popping back in. And, you know, and it's happened several times. I've witnessed this. My mother's witnessed it. And then we've had, on top of it, which complicates everything, is what we do feel to be actual spirits, family members coming in because they're concerned and they're basically helping support what's going on because, you know, we're in the long goodbye here. I mean, that's the reality. So, you know, that kind of thing can happen. This is a complicated case that you're in and in your own instance. And I do think that an experienced team coming in and helping you, you know, to try to answer some of the questions probably is the best advice I could give you.
Well, I mean, maybe, I think I've gotten this stuff more because it happens every so often. You know, it's right down and stuff, but, you know, it's not like I want to, you know.
I don't think that, in your case, everything that I've heard so far, there's nothing damaging going on here. It's all been fairly harmless, and to me, it's...
Well, like I say, it's harmless, though. It's not like it bothers me exactly.
I mean, it's the worst that's happened is you've had some stuff disappear, and then it always gets put back. So,
there is one thing that might disqualify from that. I don't say harmless, but I could say... all right, I'll let you know this one, okay? I had a... I woke up... sorry, on my pillow, okay? I woke up one morning, okay? And I noticed... It was blood on my pillow, right? And thought, oh my God, with my blade nose, okay? Well, then a blade nose comes out of cut on myself somewhere, right? I must have failed to cut my head. Didn't have a cut on me, period, right? And it wasn't like a little drop of blood, okay? It was like a whole spear, I think.
I remember the story. Yeah, you told me it once before. Right?
Right?
You had,
and then again, it happened again also. So that's probably the one who might, didn't scare me, okay, but the same thing happened, but, you know, I told you so that story too. So, but it's like stuff's harmless. It's not like I'm hurt. No one's hurt. No physical stuff going on. Nothing that you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, have you had? Do you go regularly to a doctor?
To a doctor?
Yeah.
I go to a doctor, but it's for.
I would have that checked out. I would have him run an X-ray and just run some checks and just make sure. You know, unexplained bleeding like that is not normal.
Well, no, that's not normal.
Well, John, hey, yeah. I wanted to cut out of here, man, because I need to give you a call real quick. Actually, I have a question to ask you offline. So.
Okay.
I don't think this would be the type of doctor I go to. No, I don't think an X-ray do anything, though. But, no, but I'll just document stuff and keep up with it more so.
I'm going to go ahead and end it here because I got to I got some stuff to do in the morning myself. So, hey, Boogeyman, I appreciate you coming on.
Sure.
And,
you got an excellent show going here. The EVP thing I want to get into more so, you know, because I'm interested in checking stuff out. I'd love to. A lot of people encourage me to get that going, especially things that happen around me, you know.
Okay. Well, keep calling in and telling us what's going on. And,
Sure.
I strongly urge you, though, to at least start documenting things and then think about what's going on, you know, in your life. And with the bleeding thing, trust me, I think it would be a good idea just to get checked out. Go in for a physical and have them just tell them about what's happening and see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were me, that I'd do that. And,
physical.
You know, I've got some medical training.
What would they look
like?
Hey.
Yes, right, you know. Okay, my friend.
All right, well, yeah, take it easy, right?
Okay, well, hey, God bless you. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to be signing off the ad hoc show. This is the EVP show. We just did this one just because it was fun. Ran way over. So those of you on the archive broadcast listening to this, thank you for taking the time to download the show. We always appreciate that. And we're going to be on again here this coming Tuesday and Thursday for the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum show. So we're going to be talking more about that, and we will see you then. So this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. Good night, everybody.